Blog Talk Radio.
To have you all here as always, because tonight we are going to have an amazing show like we always do. Well, y'all know how we do. I'm never alone because I have my cast and crew joining us. If you've been following us, you know for the last couple of weeks we've brought in some new segments and we got some more coming your way really soon. But tonight, let everybody know that we're on because we're talking about young people leading the fight in gun control. King. Please have you dial into 845-241-9898 or listen by going to blogtalkradio.com/IAmMeRadio. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute, y'all.
Must have been crazy to think that you love me. I saw all the signs, but I just couldn't see nothing. I did the time I crossed the line for you. Cause I can see myself and nobody else but you. Tell me what you're thinking, cause this is what you wanted. Should have been the one to hold me when I got lonely. Every time I think of the life you told to me, make it easy for me to leave.
You planned.
And we are back on Simply ID. If you're listening right now, this is Tunes, a little bit of Mary J. Plus One. Wow. Wow. I wonder how her and her ex-husband are doing. We're going to find out in a minute, guys. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something serious that's going on in the nation. And if you guys have been following what's been going on, you know that it's one horrific event after another when it comes to these mass shootings and these school shootings. And so tonight, we want to pose the question from the angle of the young people, the millennials, and even the ones really, I guess millennials fit within a certain age group, so I guess they will be considered millennials as well. The young folks that are currently in high schools and colleges and things, and what we were able to bear witness to last week was a walkout throughout the nation, and so many people participated. And I just want to say really quickly that our young people are learning more and more about protests when it comes to things that affect them directly, okay? And so with that, I'm very proud. They were able to do silent protests. Whether you agree or not, I agree with the fact that our young people understand that they have a voice and they're exercising some things. So let everybody know that we're on. I'm going to bring on my cast and crew in just a second. Let everybody know by calling 845-241-9898. We just had a shooting, I believe, a couple of days ago. And before that, everybody was talking about the Parkland incident in Florida. Because of that, October 19th and 20th, if any of you all can make it to Tuskegee, Alabama, which is my hometown, the Organization of the National Congress on Faith and Social Justice will be there. I'm a part of that organization. And we're going to hold a two-day conference where we're talking to young people as well as the citizens of Tuskegee and around the surrounding areas of whoever wants to come, and want to have some really amazing speakers to be that are going to be there, okay? We're going to have Dr. Cornell West and a couple of other amazing folks there, and I am going to be a mistress of ceremony, okay? So please, 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 I'm going to put the information out as soon as I get it so you guys can go ahead and register to be there. And we're going to have breakout panels and sessions and seminars and have a gala that evening. So I'm very excited about that because we got to get down to the bottom of this. This is ridiculous. which is ridiculous, and we need some answers. Why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and see if we can bring on one of our cast and crew really quickly. Let's go ahead and see if we can bring on LT to come and talk to us tonight. LT, welcome to Simply ID. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in the building. Hey.
You're in the building. That's what's up. That's what's up. Everybody, we have LT in the building. That's for you, everybody. Thank you for giving a hand clap to LT.
And the crowd goes wild, yeah.
And the crowd goes wow. Thank you for being here, sitting with me. And, of course, we're going to bring out some of our other cast and crew in just a minute. What do you think about talking about tonight's topic? What comes to your mind when you think about that?
I think it's crazy. We were talking about this in the group that I mentor. We were talking about that tonight. I think it's amazing to see them having a voice and them recognizing that their voice is powerful, because when they take it seriously, adults have no choice but to listen to them. If we truly say we care about them, we have no choice but to listen to their voice, because it is them. And one young lady, as she put it when she was on CBS Today, she said, we are the future America. And it is concerning if we don't allow them to spread their voice. And the young man, he said his goal is to encourage everyone that's able to vote, register to vote, and get out and exercise your vote. Yeah. And I think that's huge. You have these brand new voters who are just now turning 18.
Yeah.
And I don't think people really realize just how significant that is. Some of them will be turning 18 and have opportunity to register before the midterms in November. So what government doesn't do now, and what we as adults, as parents, can't seem to do, these young people are very serious about registering to vote and making it happen themselves.
Wow.
And
I think that's huge. It's really huge. I think what we're going to see is what we saw during the 60s with that generation, because of everything that's going on. You know, that generation is the generation that was born into understanding to fight for the rights of, you know, for gay rights, for transgender rights, for so many other rights. And the gun control is something that's big on their minds as well. So this is a generation, by the time they get in their 40s and 50s, they're going to be a very self-aware generation, and they're going to be the ones that hold the power at that time. Because generally the ones who are controlling a country are generally 40, 50, 60. And so I think sometimes, you know, people our age or older, I should say, don't really think about what you just said, that, wait a minute, it's a whole new crop of voters that are coming, and we really, really need to listen to the young folks. You know, LT, there was something I put up on social media before we went live, and it was by a young person. And the young lady said, those in power don't understand.
That. It's funny. I read it and I was just like, wow, that's deep what you were saying. She said those in power don't want to be part of the solution because they're invested.
Right. Those in power don't want to be a part of the solution because they're invested. And that is so true. And so I think we're getting a lot of rhetoric on the top, on high, because they are invested in that system, right? So they're more about protecting the system than our children. Would you agree to that? That's what I see. I don't care what they say. I was gonna say,
and it's unfortunate that kids see the truth about what adults try to cover up. That's really, really sad.
Yeah.
And I asked the girls tonight, I asked them a question. I said, if people had taken the walkouts last week more seriously, and the young people's voice and those parents who went to the Congress, had they taken them more seriously, do they believe that the shooting in Maryland would not have taken place the other day?
Mm.
Because it's funny, we're having this conversation, and it was a school shooting just this week. Thankfully, the people who were being aimed at didn't get killed, but the young person. Cute. But we're not talking about that, though. We don't want to have a conversation about that.
You know, because it's too much like, right. You know, what I love about the young folks, every revolution in the entire world, if you look at any revolutions, LT, they're always galvanized by the youth, okay? And there are several reasons for that, but the youth have, they have an energy that can take them to the streets, okay? They also have nothing to lose in the sense that when you start getting deals and you having your own children and you trying to, you know, you got your position and your title and you're leading the church choir, you don't want to lose your status, right? I know that sounds crazy, but...
No, but it's very spot on. It's very spot on for that.
And so our young people are at the point, they have nothing to lose. They haven't gained anything yet, and I still hope that they keep that momentum, you know, during the civil rights movement. And I go back to that movement a lot because that was the last major movement we saw in our country that led to policy changing, you know, legislation, okay? They were young folks. You know, Martin and all of them, 27, 32, right? You know, young people.
Right.
Were young people. And underneath them, you got people who were in college, okay? And so that's what we're seeing now. Do you think, LC, and I'm just going to throw this at you in your opinion, and we're going to bring on Leroy McKenzie in a minute because I know he's fired up. He's ready to come from the green room, girl. I know you ready. do you think that our generation is kind of sitting back just intellectualizing? I'm going to make a word, y'all. Intellectualizing what's going on? Are we really in the fight? Where do you think we are in terms of the age group 40 to 50?
I'm going to be 100% honest. I do think a lot of us are sitting back. We're talking. We haven't laid out on the grass. We haven't done one march.
Right.
We haven't lost. It hasn't directly affected our kids. So we haven't decided that this is a good time to go to D.C. and tell them we need change. We're not out there holding people accountable. We're not preparing ourselves for election in November. We're sitting back and we're watching and we're letting young people take care of us when it should be us taking care of them. So yes, we're having these very deep conversations with these big colorful words and adjectives and all these hopes and dreams and aspirations with no action. Absolutely no action. I'm not tearing down black people or white people. But when you got somebody more focused on being mad at Bruno Mars because he's not black, but
come
he's doing black
now.
Music. Music doesn't belong to anybody, it belongs to all of us. But when you can focus more on that and less on the fact that your kid could go to school today and not come home tonight. We have these intellectual conversations about things that are totally irrelevant. That's my opinion.
Y'all heard it here. Come on now. Y'all heard it here. LT say, listen, we sitting back using big, beautiful, colorful words and talking about things that don't matter. And I agree with you. Once again, guys, I want you all to, I'm going to put out information for you all to be a part of the conversation or the conference that we're going to have in Tuskegee October 19th and 20th. Here's the thing that's different that I want to share as well is that we are not going to sit and just talk about it. We have a piece within our organization where we deal with direct policy, where we're directly connected to the White House. Can I get an amen? Because we understand that you cannot, Dr. Martin Luther King and even Malcolm X, they understood that it wasn't enough to be in the streets. Or it's not enough to talk about it. You have to change policy and legislation. Legislation and laws have to change in order to direct justice, the justice system, okay? So our justice system is screwed up. We're going to talk about that a little later. Well, right now, guys, I think I hear a little something. Let me see. Let's see what this is, Ellie. Oh, got a drum roll. Listen, everybody.
She gave me the drum roll.
Yes, sir.
Because
yes,
she
sir.
Already knew
yes,
what was
sir.
About to happen. That's why she didn't let the show begin.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited, everybody. You know, I had to do it. You know, we have LT out here who's, you know, breaking the stage down. I'm going to have to rebuild the stage after what she just said. And because
I know, right?
Everybody. And so we want to bring you into the conversation to talk about our young people leading the fight in gun control. You heard what LT had to say. You heard what I had to say. Where would you like to kind of interject or put the stage on?
Well, here's my question to you all, and I'm a, y'all know I gotta go against the grain against everything with you
okay.
saying that the kids you're saying that the kids are leading the movement. Now, when you think about the movement and the organizational structure of what's going on, are they putting that all together?
Well, here's
the
thing. Well, here's the thing. What I'm saying, you know, when it comes to this particular argument, if you will, with should we talk about gun control, that has been something that the people who are the heads who should be talking about it are not talking about it. And our generation has not been able to get the conversation going either. Now, I don't know who's internally structuring things or whatever, and of course we're in it, okay? But the what they've been able to do and what they're doing is they're going against the grain, if you will, and they're setting, whether they know it or not, they are setting a movement around this particular issue. Yeah, they're setting some things up. So what do you think? Because obviously we want to support that because I'm proud of that, of the way that they're doing it. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great thing, and like you just mentioned, since our generation has not stepped up, we know that the older generation, they're the ones that had the movement, like you just talked about, back in the 60s. So they have the knowledge mm-hmm. of how to do it. And if mm-hmm. if we were smart as that middle generation, we would take what was implemented already and the wisdom that we gained and use
mm-hmm.
it to kind of say galvanize or just kind of put together the energy that the younger generation has. They're full of energy. I mean, and I always go
yeah,
back
they're
to,
full of energy.
The line that Common said in his mood and the song that they had for summer,
mm-hmm.
him and John Legend had, you need the wisdom of the elders and the energy
yes.
of the youth, and that's
of
the key
youth.
To what's going on right now. Because if you take that
mm-hmm.
energy that the youth has, because they putting it on another level. You all just
yeah.
talked about it.
Yeah.
They are taking it to another level, and that's because
mm-hmm.
of the energy that they have and the not
mm-hmm.
just the energy, but the passion that's behind what that they have. And they're like, look, no, this ain't happening no more. In the same way that our grandparents and even our parents were back in the 60s about
yeah.
it, they were tired of it. They were tired of it.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And you're so right. I believe that, you know, on Earth at one time, there's a couple of generations that there are at least three or four generations that are living at one time, right? And so
mm-hmm.
my thing is you need every generation because every generation has that piece, like you mentioned. Here's
right.
the thing
right.
I'm wondering. I want to pose this question to you, Leroy, and LT, and for those of you who are listening. We know the piece that our grandparents and our parents had. Okay, that's very clear and defined. You know, you can go back and look at policy. You can go look at legislation, okay, and
mm-hmm.
see where
absolutely.
The tides change. Okay, and then you have us. I'm just going to sit here for a second. Then you have us, okay? And okay, I'm just going to sit there for a second. We were the recipient. Come on now, if we're going to be real about
yep.
it. So our parents became more educated than any other generation in the history of this of America up until we came, okay? They got educated.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the GI Bills and things like that. They were the first ones to start making money and doing all that kind of stuff, right? And so a lot of them wanted to make life so comfortable for our generation, okay? I know y'all don't want to hear this out there, but we became that generation where we just want to build a career. A lot of time, and we became about me, okay, a lot of us, okay? And then now we got these other two generations that's come behind us. They really fit in the same one, but now things have happened, right? It things are going backwards again for our people, okay? And so they're like, no, right? let's talk about those pieces, Leroy. All right, so please help me. I think we're very intellectual. I think we are a generation who has accomplished a lot. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to that effort of saying, wait a minute, we're not done. We're not done, and we need to get this other piece. What do you think that piece was for us that we're missing, that we are responsible in doing?
Here's what we are missing, and you and I have had this conversation before, that we are missing. We have gotten access, and you said it, we've gotten comfortable. And I remember having a conversation with my mother about the civil rights era and everything like that. She was like, we were fighting because we had nothing. So we were fighting for everything that we wanted to get. And what we've gotten as a benefit of what they fought for, we've gotten access to more finances, or as far as jobs, as far as, you know, being able to vote, all of those things, being able to live where we want to live, access to all of those things that we have now. We've got the good jobs. Mm-hmm. We've got the good jobs. Mm-hmm. And we've become comfortable with that, and we aren't willing to lose it. And that's what our parents and grandparents were willing to do. They were willing to fight and lose it. And I've asked this question and said this, I mean, time and time again, this generation, us, meaning us as this generation, we're not willing to lose. And we talked about, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a tangent, but we talked about Monique and everything that she's brought up and stuff like that. And she's right to a certain extent, but she's been willing to lose what she had access to. Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick, was willing to lose what he had access to. So that's what the majority of us in our generation aren't willing to lose. We're like, huh, no, you want me to give up my good job? I'm going to keep my mouth shut, keep my head down, and keep moving, you know?
That's right.
That's what we're missing. And the other piece is just missing to me. We're missing an agenda. The civil rights era had an agenda. They had, like you talked about, they had an agenda. And any time that you heard them talking, whenever Dr. King went to talk with Lyndon Johnson, he gave Lyndon Johnson the blues because he had an agenda.
Yes, he did.
And he did not deter from that agenda. He was really, he died for that agenda that they put together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we haven't done. We don't have the agenda, the blueprint is there for the agenda.
Right.
We just have not taken action on it.
Because we haven't, like you said, we didn't come from a place of loss. We came from a place of comfort. The parents before, and that doesn't negate those who still are in poverty and things like that. Or because most people, the truth be told, in America, are making less than you know. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it right there. You all already know about the under the line of poverty there. You know, what's very interesting is I believe everyone that our generation was supposed to and is supposed to be the economic component. We're the ones that were supposed to really introduce that. Our parents brought in civil rights, okay, and saying we need to be treated equal and fairly. We have to get that first. You got to be treated as a man and a woman first. But here's the thing, our piece is very, very important because the economic piece, y'all ready for this?
Mm.
I don't think they're ready for it, Leroy and LT. The economic piece affects mass incarceration. It affects police brutality. It affects all those. Think about any people that are in America, like your Japanese American or your Jewish American or whatever. They are in a position of economic power where you don't hear them getting shot on the street like dogs.
Not at all.
On the street like dogs in America? Black people and Hispanic people. Why? There's not an economic component. I need everybody to listen. Okay? Now we're up in arms, of course, because, and we're gonna talk about this too, but we're up in arms because we see what's been going on in the schools or whatever. Now, black kids been getting shot since I don't know how long, okay, since the beginning of time over here. But here's the thing now. We are seeing mass shootings in predominantly white schools by white males, okay? And now it's a problem. Houston, I think we have a problem. Now, we don't have to make this a black or white thing, but it is in there. You need to be able to understand the component that is in there. And so these are things that we need to address. None of our kids should be getting killed. All of our kids should be able to be safe to go to school, to go worship, to be on the playground, to be at home. All of our children.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the interesting thing is that policy is not so, the people who can change these things in policy, they're not ready to move, and we need to talk about that. So what we're going to do real quick, we're going to take a quick break. Can we take a quick break, everybody? And when we come back, we're also going to hear our first segment for tonight because we want to go ahead and give a little lightness to what's going on. I'm going to come back with LT and What's the Buzz, and she's going to talk about what's going on in entertainment, information, and news as well. And then when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Can we do that, everybody?
Let's
I think
do.
We're going to do that. We're going to take a quick little break, guys, and when we come back, we'll be in for more on Simply ID, y'all. Back on Simply ID, everybody. We're taking a quick little break, and if you've been listening, we've been having a really great conversation about where we are in terms of who's leading this gun control and who's dropping the ball, right? Who's really taking the ball and running with it, and who's dropping it? I want to take this moment to share with you guys about an organization called the Joshua Project, and it's led by Pastor Richard Dawson out of St. Louis. And guys, it's an extraordinary program. This program trains church leaders and pastors all around the country who are in distressed areas where a lot of their community is being tortured by killings, police brutality, and drugs, and so many other things. But he has developed a program. Check this out, LC and Leroy. This is awesome what he's been able to do. He's training pastors and leaders around the country who are in these communities on how to stop the violence in your community. And there's a 2-day conference that's coming up, guys, I believe August 8th to August 10th in St. Louis. That's amazing, isn't it? They already have 8 churches that they have been overseeing for the last year, and these churches have the Joshua Project in their community. They've been able to quantify, guys. Listen to this. They've been able to reduce the crime in their areas because of this training. And the training is free. Training is free, everybody. So I want to put that out there. If you guys want to get in touch and find out about the Joshua Project, please contact me by going to hashtag IAmMeRadio or go to us on Facebook and in our group, and so we can go ahead and give you that information. LT, what do you think about that? I think it's great that pastors are saying, you know, we're in the community with our congregants, or even if we ain't in that community, we're down the street from another community that might be going through this, and we need to help solve the issue of crime. We need to be able to do some things. What do you think about that, LT?
I think this is a great project, and that's the churches, the hospital. I mean, people may not want to talk about it, but the church is the place where people come to get healed and mend it and, you know, be supported and put back together in a manner of speaking. And we know that God does the healing in place to open the door to a lot of people come in. So that, and then and then you're supposed to get rejuvenated there so you can then go out into the community and be able to help shepherd and help work and help be alongside others and bring them into what you know. So I do think it's a great project. I'm happy to hear that they're taking back and taking ownership for that one, for the one chef, for the one sheep.
Yes.
And when I say, and think about it, if everybody took care of just the one, and everybody took care of just their one, think about how many people you can reach. And so I hope more churches take that approach about just the one.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I think it's great, and I want to share that here for several reasons. You know, first of all, because I believe in that, and like LT said, guys, it just starts with one. We have to be responsible for that one. And when you are a leader in the community, especially in the faith community, you're probably 9 times out of 10, your church is in the community, and it, you know, those are your people, those are your shepherds. And you know what I like too, LT, about some things that you know, the gentleman mentioned to me was that even if you are in a beautiful neighborhood or upscale neighborhood or whatever, I can guarantee you there are so many pastors in your city, right there around the corner, whatever, who need help, where folks are getting gunned down, where people are not eating, where people are not getting the things they need. And you need to be trained. We all need to be trained for that. So I want to give a shout out to those two organizations. And also, Elsie, guess what? I have a surprise, if you like that. I have a surprise that we're going to bring to our show. You ready? I have a surprise.
Yes.
You want it? Y'all want to hear my surprise?
Surprise! I like
a surprise. Surprise! I have a surprise. What we're going to do, because we, you know, we have a platform here, don't we, LC? We can really do what we want to do, and we want to always raise the stakes, right? And you know, God has blessed us in a way where everybody who sits on this platform does something to help others outside of this, right? You know, you mentor young girls and do other things. Mr. Leroy does so many things. We're going to bring him back on in a second in his community as well. We have a minister, which is 911, right? We have Click 32 that talks to the folks in her community about what's going on in their relationships to get better understanding. And we have Shantae, the poetess, who does some things. So, guys, we are people who just don't talk about it, you know. But what my surprise is, we are going to officially adopt 4 organizations, 4 faith-based organizations out there that are actually doing these things. One of them is the National Congress on Faith and Social Justice. The other one is this, the Joshua Project that I just mentioned. Also, Black Lives Matter, Women of Faith Movement, and Omni, One More Needed Inside, which is by our friend Sean Riley, the ghetto politician. Now, you may be wondering, what does it mean to be able to adopt?
Yes.
Now, you may be asking yourself, what does it mean to adopt an organization? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have segments here right on Simply ID. I'm coming to you real soon where we're going to have a community impact segment, okay? And so we're going to talk about those 4 organizations, let you know who they are, what they're doing week in and week out around the nation. These are organizations that are doing the work. How do I know? Because I personally deal with all of the directors of the organization. So I'm not just talking to somebody within it. I'm talking to the creators. Amen, everybody? Amen, everybody. So we're going to start soon talking about some things going on in the community and how you guys can get in touch with them and get what you need. How about that, ALT? We're doing it, right? We're doing it, y'all. We're popping over here on Simply ID. Why don't we let's bring
she didn't give me a chance to respond. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess,
girl,
that was a rhetorical question. You don't want me to speak out loud.
Girl, I'm over here working. You're over here working. We have the appropriate platform to be able to, you know, to help, and we can always do a little bit more. We can always do a little bit more. Let's see what Leroy McKenzie has to say about that before we go to What's the Buzz. Leroy McKenzie, what would you like to say about us bringing on those organizations?
I think that is excellent. I mean, I'm always for putting the spotlight on individuals or organizations that you would not ordinarily hear about it in mainstream media, because you're not going to hear about these folks that they doing it, like you said, they doing it every day. These folks are doing it every single day. They don't, you know, they're not doing it to get publicity and everything like that, even though, you know, in some respect, the publicity could help them to be able to do some of the things that they want to do and are trying to do, but they're not doing it for the notoriety or anything like that. They're doing it because they want to impact people, and they want to make the communities better that they, you know, that they are part of it. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a giant thing. And that's a great thing.
It is.
especially in this day and time, you know, because it's so sorely needed. It is sorely needed.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for that. Guys, we can always do more, and I always look at the four pointing fingers at other people. I always ask myself the question, what can I do more? Or I even better yet, I listen to God's direction on where he wants me to move. So you guys are going to see a lot of things transitioning, a lot of things coming up where our family is going to grow even more. Why don't we do this, guys? We're going to change the times a little bit, and when we come back, we're going to come back and talk about, I'm going to share some statistics with everybody, guys, on what young people actually think about gun control. Are they split on their views, or are they really solid on it? We're going to come back and talk about it. But right now, LT, you ready to take them to the bus? Well, what's the buzz? Let me say it right. You ready to take them?
Yes, I'm ready to take them to What's the Buzz. Yeah, you guys sit back and relax and get ready to tune into another episode of What's the Buzz here on Simply IB. You know how we do it. We drip in finesse. Hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Drop top Porsche, Rory on my wrist, diamonds up and down my chain. Cardi B, Jay Sonic, can't tell me nothing. Boss up and I change the game.
It's that time again for What's the Buzz with your girl LT right here on Simply IB, bringing you the latest in entertainment information news updates every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. right here on Simply IB. There's a lot that's buzzing in the entertainment industry, so we're going to get right to it, shall we? First up is French Montana. He has just culminated his humanitarian efforts in Uganda by opening a hospital there that's equipped to care for 300,000 people. The unforgettable rapper is hip-hop's first global citizen ambassador for his work in Uganda. Congratulations. He was matched in donations by Diddy and The Weeknd to bring it all to pass. So we want to give them a huge shout-out and congratulations. And we are definitely happy that the people in Uganda will be getting the help and the resources that they need. You can check out more information about that on TMZ.com. The 2018 iHeartRadio Music Awards was held on Sunday, March 11th, hosted by DJ Khaled and Hailey Baldwin. Ed Sheeran was the big winner of the night with a total of four awards. Two include Song of the Year for Shape of You and Male Artist of the Year. Cardi B, who is also said to be expecting her first baby with his boyfriend Offset from the group Migos, walked away with Best New Artist. And Bruno Mars ended the night with R&B Song of the Year for That's What I Like and R&B Artist of the Year. So congratulations to all of you, the big winners. Speaking of iHeart Media Group, the giant, the San Antonio-based giant Media Group giant, in an article from USA Today on March 16th, is said to be filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The media group that has over 850 stations has $20 billion in debt. The group, formerly known as Clear Channel, which changed their name back in 2014, was able to reach a settlement for $10 billion. So we wish you all well in that endeavor. But it just shows what the financial struggle looks like for those of us in the radio industry. People are choosing other ways to listen to music, whether that is online streaming or whether it's downloads. They're taking different alternatives, and it's not just regular radio anymore. But the Liberty Media Group were able to help out iHeart Media. They purchased $400 million of their debt. Liberty Media also has to its assets Sirius XM Radio, Formula One Auto Racing, and the Atlanta Braves. Speaking of Braves, how many of you braved the cold weather to have some St. Patrick's Day fun? Some of the celebrities got in on the fun with their funny posts that were on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Robert Downey Jr. wasn't going to be left out, according to People.com, in his green onesie. And neither was Will Smith. He posted a hilarious video on Facebook Live called Freak Accident, letting us know that he is still in the rap game, that he is just not the kid. He's just not the kid from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He is still a grown man and heavy in the rap game. But you can check that out on Facebook and Instagram to his video, Freak Accident. Speaking of funny man, Tracy Morgan has teamed up with award-winning Jordan Peele and John Carcieri to bring us The Last OG. It's a comedy flick set to hit the air on April the 3rd on TBS. You may want to check local listings for actual times. The storyline is Trey, who's portrayed by Tracy Morgan, is an ex-con who becomes shocked when he sees how much the world has changed after being released on good behavior from a 15-year prison stint. And it's so good to see Tracy Morgan back in action. Many of you know that he was involved in a very serious accident a couple years ago. And good to see not only is he on the mend, but back on the funny comedy trail as well and doing well with his own TV show. It stars comedy's newest funny girl, Tiffany Haddish, and Cedric the Entertainer. Again, that's called The Last OG. It's set to air on April the 3rd on TBS. Check local listing for time. Speaking of back on air, Braxton Family Values hits back WeTV shows on Thursday night at 9 p.m. For more family drama and fun and action, you want to definitely check them out and follow Tamar and Tony and her sisters and the outlandish mom on Braxton Family Values. They're back on Thursday at 9 on WeTV. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about Beyonce and Jay-Z possibly doing another tour, that there was a rumor. Well, we finally reached confirmation. Yes, On the Run 2 will kick off June the 6th in Cardiff, United Kingdom. They will hit 15 cities across the United Kingdom and Europe before hitting 21 cities here in North America. Tickets are now on sale. I'm so excited. I know you guys are too. We had a lot to talk about in What's the Buzz. There's more to come up next week when you tune in to us right here on Simply IB.
The Buzz. We want to thank her for coming and bringing us the best in entertainment news and information. Wow, Jay-Z and Beyonce, sister girl, y'all know that's my cousin, right? We need to call Beyonce and get her on the show. We need to call her on the show. Come on, B, come on. everybody, they're getting ready to go on tour. LT, let's talk about it real quick. Wow, you know what my question is, but I'm not going to ask you that, but if you want to talk about what your favorite story was, share that with us. But first of all, let me ask you, you said Beyonce and Jay-Z are going on a 15-city tour? Only 15 cities right now?
Only 15. It's only 15 in Cardiff, between United Kingdom and Europe. And then when they come here,
okay.
21. Yep. So I'm pretty sure as the tour continues, more dates and cities will be added. But as it's been released right now, it's only 15 abroad, 21 here.
Okay. Y'all heard it here. You know, what was very interesting is that we always look to them for so many things. You know what I really like about them? I don't know them personally, but what I like about them, and, you know, and we're going to bring any of you that want to join the conversation too, is that they have been able to go from just mere single or mere rapper, and we see them as business folks. They've been making moves. So for our community, we don't just revere them in terms of their talent. We see how they're making moves outside of that stage, and that's very, very, very important. We also see that Jay-Z, you may know this, LT, Jay-Z and P. Diddy are doing some things to help our community identify black-owned businesses. You guys catch it now. Y'all catch it. Y'all can say what y'all want to
say. I was going to say that because one of the biggest things, Diddy even said that when he and Khaled were talking about their show,
mm-hmm.
that they're collaborating together. You have to realize when you put money and money together, how you can make a difference. It can't be a competitive situation. You have to be able to figure out how to take your platform and make it work for the whole, which is what Beyonce
mm-hmm.
and Jay-Z, I believe, have had opportunity to do very well. When we were talking about the business aspect, they've taken ownership of their music. They've taken ownership of how that money is going to be made and how it affects them. They took it away from going on YouTube and regular streaming
mm-hmm.
for music. They created
mm-hmm.
their own form of streaming for Tidal. I mean, you know, they
right.
studied
That's
the
right.
business. They
Very
took
powerful.
It and made it their own.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Leroy McKenzie is probably in the background like, yeah, you take your black dollars
yes,
and they've
sir.
Made it, figured out how to create. They've watched, they've
mm-hmm.
learned, and then they've imitated it and regenerated it and made it for themselves to work for them.
Yeah.
So now
yeah,
you
they
want
are
something from them, you got to go
yeah.
to them.
Amen, amen, amen. They definitely have changed the narrative, and not just the narrative, but they're changing the game. They're changing the paradigm. We're seeing the paradigm shift, and I think the younger generation is really going to grab hold to that. And do some major things with it. And so shout out to them. Also,
but you'd
shout
be
out
surprised
to the
my, you, Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised at what my favorite story was. I want to see if you can guess what my favorite story was.
Wow.
My favorite.
I give up.
No, really. I really want to see how well do you know, LT, what my favorite story was.
Well, here's the thing. You know what, guys? I'm running a show, so I got so many things on my mind, like time. But let me see. Let's see what we can come up with. Do we need a drum roll? Maybe need a good old drum roll. Let's see. Y'all might need to help me. Cheer for me. Come on, y'all. Give me some cheers. There we go. Okay. Let's see. LT, if I can remember all the stories, because you hit a couple. Okay, so you talked about Jay-Z and Beyonce. You also talked about DJ Khaled, Tony Braxton. Let me see what else was in there. Ed Sheeran. Am I getting it right so far? I don't know. Please help me out.
Well, I'll go ahead and spare you. I won't even do that
okay.
to you. But I will tell you the most interesting story to me really is the iHeartRadio story, because them filing
right.
Chapter 11 bankruptcy is significant for quite a few reasons. But really, they have over 850 stations, so they're not a small entity by any means.
Right.
But when an agent,
right.
when a company that big is struggling in a financial situation, and they're still
mm-hmm.
preparing like for the iHeart Country Music Award. So business is still business as usual,
okay.
but they still have that debt.
Right.
So to me, that
right.
was the most interesting story, and maybe Leroy can speak to that on the business end of it, and you know the lessons that we need to see and we need to learn as a business, as people in business, because that's significant that you can be that
it
big
is.
Of a giant that you bought out all of these stations
yeah.
and it's just all of this that you're doing. And yet you have that amount of debt. That part to me was just like, it was crazy. It took
yeah.
completely crazy.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, when you're building or when you're expanding, you know, it's interesting. You take on a lot of debt when you're expanding. And it could be, I don't know the ins and outs, and I certainly don't have the financial wherewithal that they had. But I do know that's when a lot of businesses get in trouble, when they're expanding really fast, because they have to take on debt. They have to leverage that debt. If you think about America, we're such a great country, but we are in debt to the hilt because we are leveraged. Come on out here, Leroy McKenzie. As we prepare for the power moment, please go ahead and kind of expound on that a little bit, what LT was saying about iHeart. And then what I'm going to do too, guys, I'm going to share with you guys some things about the young folks and what they're doing with the gun control as well. All right. Leroy, come on out really quickly, because we are going to get ready for a power moment. What are you thinking about this iHeart situation?
Well, I mean, I think it is. I think some companies do have a they aren't strategic about their growing, and
mm-hmm.
they do try to grow too fast. And you gotta be,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a plan for how you're gonna grow.
Yeah.
Too many,
for how you grow.
Too many,
yes.
Yeah, for how you grow.
Yes.
There's too many
That's
people
right.
there. Oh, I wanna do this. And you can't do business is not a you can't have a microwave mentality with business.
Right.
You have to be
right.
you gotta be strategic. You have to have excuse me, a mindset. It's different levels to your business.
Yeah.
And I always say this, every Fortune 500 company was a small business when it first started. It's not
mm-hmm.
one.
That's right.
If you can find one Fortune
right,
500
business
that started
that's
off
right.
as a Fortune 500 business, then come see me. But there's not one.
Right.
And I guarantee
right.
you, those that are successful, they are strategic about their growth. Look at Amazon, one of the biggest companies,
mm.
if not the biggest company.
Mm-hmm.
It's been
mm-hmm.
strategic about
Very
how
strategic.
It has grown, about
mm-hmm.
how it's grown. And
mm.
unfortunately, with our businesses, we don't gain the knowledge that we need.
Right.
The resources in order to be able to understand how to do that, you know,
right.
or we don't seek
right.
it, or we don't seek it.
Right.
One of the two.
Right.
You know, because
right.
if we seek it, and this is one of the things, this is one of my assignments this year, is to study those who are, you know, who is to study those who are successful in business and to be around those who are where I'm trying to go. And what I want to do is learn. I have to learn from them. We should be learning from them, whether it's through books, whether it's through a conversation with them, whether it's through video, YouTube, listening to them, how they think, their processes. And that's the thing, having a process in place and a process in place and also a plan, a strategic plan in place.
Absolutely.
Those are the two keys to be able to growing strategically and growing successfully.
Right. Right. I'm glad you guys mentioned that because, you know, we don't always hear that side. You know, most people or a lot of people are probably of the mindset that you go out of business because you didn't have enough money. And that's certainly something that's out there. But a lot of people don't understand that sometimes you go out of business because you have too much demand. You got and you have not you don't have a strategic plan. You know, I have a business outside of this, guys, and what was very interesting is that I had gotten a contract, a government contract, and I had to really look at it, and I was going to grow really fast. But here's the thing, Leroy, check this out. I was getting ready to grow myself right out of business. I didn't have the supply to meet the demand. So what I did, because I'm a little smarty pants, I went on and got with other suppliers. And let them, I went back to the table, okay, let them be my supply, okay, and so we could meet that demand because I would have just run myself out of business. Matter of fact, we're going to dedicate some shows just to business and all these things for you in the Power Moment as well as the Biz Doc. So I hope everybody's ready for that. I hope everybody's ready for that. Why don't we do this since we are talking about that and then so we can come back and kind of hit some more points. With what's going on in our country today with young folks and gun control, why don't we go ahead and hit Power of a Moment and Power of a Man? Can we do that, Mr. Lever on the team,
dude? I don't know. I don't know if they're ready for greatness.
All right. Y'all, let's be ready for greatness. We'll be back on CPIB. Y'all get the pens and paper out because we're going to quiz you. Right, LT? We're going to quiz them. And Lever. We'll be back, y'all, on CPIB.
Hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So go on and get the cabin. Go pop a phone.
It's your boy, Leroy McKenzie Jr. with the Power of a Man, Power Moment on the Simply IB radio show on the IME radio network. Coming to you today, the Power Moment for today is prepared for greatness. Are you prepared for greatness? This week I was actually reading this book that I'm just about finished with, and it was talking about the story of David, David in the Bible. And it talked about David coming to be the king, coming to be king. And he had to go through the process of becoming great before he could be great. Now, if I were to ask any of you if you were prepared for greatness right now, if it happened to you right this day or tomorrow or the next day, would you be prepared for the greatness that was going to come on you? Because there's a great responsibility that comes with greatness. So I'm going to give you three things real quick that will get you in the mindset of getting prepared for greatness. And the thing about David was, he was, for y'all that don't know the story of David, he was a sheep herder before he became king. He was a sheep herder before he became king. So he was tending sheep, but while he was tending sheep, he had to fight off lions and he had to fight off bears to keep them from the sheep. He went from fighting lions and bears to actually fighting Goliath. Most of you remember the story of David and Goliath in the Bible. Well, before David could fight Goliath, he had already fought lions and bears. So to fight Goliath was nothing new to him. He knew how to battle because he had protected the sheep that he was tending to. So fighting Goliath and bringing Goliath down was was nothing more than what he had already been doing. So he had to be prepared. He was first prepared by fighting the lions and bears for becoming great. Then he fought Goliath, which took him to the next level. And then once he became king years later, he went into battle with the men that he had being king. He had to be able to lead them into battle. And that's where he fought off thousands and fought off other kingdoms and was considered to be one of the greatest kings. So you can't get to greatness without three things. And I'm going to give you these three things really quick. You must first prepare for greatness. There's a process to, the first thing is there's a process to greatness. Remember, there is a process to greatness. You just don't go from one day being average to being the next day being great. There is a process to greatness. Next, there's preparation to greatness. Understand, you have to be prepared for greatness. So there's a grooming part of the process that you have to go through. So you have to be prepared for greatness. And then the third thing is the progress, progressing into greatness. So those three things, that's the process of greatness, the preparation of greatness, and the progress into greatness. So you have to understand those things. When you can understand those three things about becoming great, then you can understand going into your greatness. And all of us have greatness within us, but we have to understand the process, the preparation, and the progress into greatness and becoming great. So remember the story of David, fighting lions and bears, fighting Goliath to becoming a king and fighting other nations. That's your Power of a Man power moment on the Simply IB radio show on the IME radio network with Miss Simply IB. This is Leroy McKenzie Jr. Y'all know how we do on a mission 2018. Make your 2018, end of 2018, greater than your beginning of 2018. We'll talk to you soon.
And we are back on Simply IB, guys. You're listening to the Power Moment, Power of a Man, Mr. Leroy McKenzie. We're going to bring him out as well as LT. And I'm going to try to remember my three, but even more so than that, I'm going to ask LT what were her favorites. And Leroy, come on out here right quick. Let me go ahead and see if I got those three. I didn't write it down, okay? So bear with me. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to try to put it in order. The first thing you got to do is prepare for greatness, okay? I hope that's right. No, process. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Let me just give you the three. Okay,
process.
Process. Then you have to prepare. You got to have the preparation. And then the last one I think is progress, progression to greatness. Did I get them right? I hope I got them right, everybody.
Uh-huh.
Did I get them right, Leroy? All right. Y'all give me some love. Let's talk about this real quick. LT, out of those three, what stood out to you in terms of the message of really there's a strategy to being great from what Leroy's telling us? Which one stuck out to you? Process, preparation, or progress?
Preparation and process, but more so preparation. And it's funny that he would say that because, you know, all of us say we want to be great. But the question truly becomes, mm-hmm. are we prepared to receive it when, you know, are we prepared for it? It's like we ask for certain things, but we haven't prepared to receive it and not only receive it, but maintain it. And that stuck out to me more so, you know, when I complain about where I am in a particular situation, thinking I should be further along. But the process is part of the preparation. And so, you
Amen.
Know, I'm just like, okay,
Amen.
Okay. So when he said it, it just confirmed that for me. So that was my favorite part. So it might be Power of a Man moment, but I think that's just like man and mankind because that works for me. So
yeah,
did I get that right?
I like that.
Did I get it right?
Mankind.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. Oh, Leroy, did you get it right?
Absolutely. And it goes into what we were just talking about with businesses because there's a process to grow. And if you don't understand that there's a process and you aren't prepared for the, you know, for what you have to go through at that particular time, the preparedness of it gives you the progress into where you're trying to go. With too many people, most of us want to get to the progress and be great, but don't want to have to go through, like I talked about with David, we don't want to fight the lions and the bears or even Goliath, but we want to become king. You can't just become king without going through Goliath and going through the bears and lions. All of that was the process.
Come on, preach. Preach, preach. For those of you out there listening, we're talking to the man himself, Mr. Leroy McKenzie of the Power Moment, the Power of a Man. And we're also talking to Ms. LT, who runs What's the Buzz. And you guys have said so much. You know, I'm over here trying to take notes, and I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's being a good host by me taking notes, but I am, everybody. And so what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to go, and I'm going to share some things with you about what's going on in this country, guys. When we come back, I know 911 has a message for us, but he has a really good message for us tonight, guys, so I'm very excited about that. I think it's time to be great. I think it's time to be great, LT. Do you agree with that? Let's be great. I think it's time to be great, Leroy. You ready to be great?
I agree. She don't give me that right, answer. I agree.
Let's
do
be
you
want to
be great?
It is.
Do you want to be
great?
Do you want to be
great?
Do you want to be
great?
Oh, do you want to be wanna be
great?
It's time to shift the culture, move with focus, rise above and lose a vulture. It's hard to fly when nose is close to you, keep pulling it down. Yeah, off my chest, no more excuses. Scared to death, but I can't lose grip. I'm scared to jump, I'm scared to fail, I'm scared of you, I'm scared of myself. But what is life? I can't be. Down my knees, let it be, cause I'm praying. God say, well done, well done, cause I'm gonna be great.
Had to take a moment to be great. Wow, scared to jump, scared to fail, scared of you, I'm scared of myself. That's Mr. Kevin Ross with Wanna Be Great. What do you all think about that? That's such a powerful song and such a powerful the message. You know, he says we got to shift the focus, shift the culture, right? That's how he comes on. We got to shift these things. You know, he started off with that. What do you think about that, LT? We got to shift, and that's what we need to do with what's going on in these schools today. We got to shift the focus, shift the culture.
You know that is one of my favorite songs. I really do love that mm-hmm. song because it just means so much. And he said that he wasn't going to be on his knees. And I just think that's so appropriate. Mm. Like when you get up in the morning, that should be like the song that you play to get yourself together. Like, you know what, no matter what,
yeah.
we're going to be great.
Absolutely.
You know, at whatever
Absolutely.
You're going to do.
Absolutely.
Shoveling dirt, whatever.
Absolutely.
So I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, you've been listening to us tonight. I'm going to share some things with you in regards to what they're saying about young folks, you know, running this, you know, and I don't want to say it like that, but are they at the forefront of this? And I think that's what makes what I'm seeing with them great, Leroy and LT. I'm seeing that they're taking something and they're not waiting to figure out if they're going to fail or not, or if, you know, or let their fear of jumping stop them. They're doing what it takes to be great. And I really love that about them. Let's see what we have here. Let me see if you all know this. For those of you out there listening, you know, we've had several school shootings already. What are we in March right now, almost in April. You all know how many mass shootings we've had already just in these 3 months of 2018? Leroy, do you have any idea how many we've already had?
No, I'm not sure at all.
Okay, don't worry about it. LT, you want to take a guess?
I want to say, because we reported about this not too long ago, I want to say it was like 100 and something. I might be wrong, but I know we talked about that not too long
okay.
ago.
Okay, well, you know, you're probably adding in some other figures from, you know, the shootings, period, or police brutality and things like that. In that regard, yes. But mass school shootings, we've seen 8 so far, and that's a lot for school shootings. That's a lot. And really, to be honest, let me back up. We really have seen 10 because since the article I'm looking at, we've had 2 more. And that's a problem.
Wow.
That is a problem.
Well, and
that's a problem.
And in the middle, like you said, in the middle of those, there were some where it's like one, a kid brought a gun to school and accidentally discharged in his bag. And it didn't hurt any, it didn't harm anyone. And then there was another incident where it went off in the bag and it shot the person who brought it. So it wasn't necessarily like you said, mass incident. You're right.
But either way, to lose a child from whether it's mistake or not, it's still one too many. It really is. And so even with that, we really need to see what's going on with gun control. And our young folks are saying enough is enough. Gun control, no youth liberation on shootings, walkouts, and getting free. They are serious about this thing, and they're taking this thing to the head. We just had a gun shooting, what, last week, I think? Or this week, I want to say. You guys, please forgive me. Just very recently.
It was a day or two ago here in Maryland. It was, I think, Western Maryland, St. Mary's, which is like Western Maryland.
Wow. Let me share some things with everybody. You guys take a listen. Are millennials moving right on guns? Are they moving right or are they moving to the left? Let's see what some of the things that we're getting from the consensus, because, you know, you have independent organizations out there that do, what do you call it, guys, where they go out and gather information and getting data on what these young folks really believe when it comes to this issue. And let's see what we get here. It says, this young generation, they are the least likely demographic in America to own a gun. Now, isn't that something?
Wow.
Isn't that something? They are the least likely demographic in America to own a gun, and which says a lot to me because, you know, usually when you're young and stuff, you're fascinated with that kind of stuff. But it's all of us that's sitting in the house that got the gun. All of us that will go ahead. But they're at least likely demographic in America to own a gun, and they give the country's lowest favorability ratings to the NRA at 19%. That's big, y'all. That's big. That tells me when it comes time for voting for things, if they don't change in the next 20 or 30 years, we'll probably see a different world for those of us that are still around. Hope God still allows us to be here to see some things. But that says a lot about a generation. They only give 19% approval rating. I want y'all to hear this. This is our children. They also go on to say, let me get some other things. While I'm looking up these things, Leroy, what do you make out of that? Did you even know that our millennials or our young people were the least favorable to have guns? I would have thought the opposite.
No, but I didn't realize that. But here's the important thing about that, and folks have to realize this, that millennial generation is the largest generation of the population right now. It's bigger than the baby boomers, there's this wave coming.
Yes, it is.
And the NRA better wake up because generation, like you said, it's only 19%, which means I guarantee you their membership is not going to be there. The folks, like you said, they're not carrying guns. So if they're not carrying guns, they're not going to be a member of the NRA, which means that's going to lessen the power that the NRA has in the government, which means who do you think is going to be in the government in the next 10 to 15 years?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And we need to look at that. Let me throw something else at you guys. It goes on to say, in the culture wars, conservatives have met defeat. I want y'all to listen to this. Conservatives have met defeat at the hands of much younger activists for gay marriage, drug legalization, and, of course, Barack Obama. You know they had a mighty hand in helping us get 44 and because his views lined up with more of their views, right? Now listen to this. According to surveys last year, 43% of 18 to 29-year-olds now hold a favorable view of socialism. Come on, let's talk about that. That's powerful. See, guys, it just doesn't go down to this issue. It goes into the ideology of our young folks. They're going to change the tide. They're going to move some things. Now, we currently live in a capitalistic society, right? A democratic society. But these young folks are looking at socialism. Why do you think that is? Do you think they see us as just greedy and not really thinking about issues and caring, like with what's going on with mass shootings? If you really think about what socialism offers folks. Because generally, folks want to be able to live in a capitalistic society, generally, because of a free market. You can become wealthy. You can live this dream life, supposedly, right? That's what a free market or capitalistic society is supposed to be able to offer. So why are our children, right, looking at socialism? I want y'all to think about that. I want y'all to think about that. LT, what do you think about what you're hearing so far about that?
I'm really not shocked. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter called, and she's at Hampton University, and they were, you know, I laughed about it because she called, and she's just turned 18 last year, and she was over the moon excited about the fact that they were able to affect change, things they wanted to see happen at the university by way of, you know, they had a town hall meeting, and then from the town hall meeting, they felt like it didn't get that, you know, their voices were heard, but not so much. They took to social media. And immediately the local news station here was all over the story. And within 5 days, they were already on the way to having those changes take place, removing the mold and those different things. And so she was excited. She said, Mom, it was so exciting to be a part of that. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
and like I shared earlier, the young man from Parkland, where that they're turning 18 and they are not taking this lightly. And they are going to be voting in the next couple of months.
No, they're not. No, they are not.
They're going to be voting in the next couple of months. And it's like, whether it's an educated vote or not, it's a vote. And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Leroy was saying and what you were saying is the fact that they need the wisdom of us. But if we're not speaking to them, they're going to make a decision. Whether it's educated or not, they're going to make a decision. And that's the part that matters the most. They're willing to take a risk. They're willing to take a risk.
Yeah.
Where we won't, and Leroy said that earlier. So I'm not surprised they want to see a more unified effort, which is what we've always been talking about. But they're willing to make it happen for everybody.
They really are. What it reminds me of is of the Obama movement with the grassroots movement and more of, you know, he gets from the conservatives. You know, they look at him like, how dare you. But he does want a society and an America and a world, really, where everybody can be safe. Everybody can have health care. Everybody can have these things. That's what America really should represent. But we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing the least of them, the ones who are impoverished, being killed by police, right? And there's been no justice on that end. We see where our young folk are in schools who are being killed by lone gunmen, and there's nothing happening. So these young folk, I believe, are going to be responsible for coming in and cleaning up that, and that when it's time for them to run, and become senators, and in the House, America is going to look like a different place. Y'all better believe it. You better believe it. Leroy, what do you think about that? LT made a really good point. What do you think about that?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think she's, you know, she's dead on with it. I mean, and it's just, it's such a pivotal time, and their voice has to matter. And the thing of it is like we talked about before, that this generation, they look at it as if they have nothing to lose.
That's right.
They have
They're being killed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, look, you all are gonna hear what we have to say, because not only does our voice matter, we're going to make you understand that our voice matters. And believe it or not, here's the crazy thing about it. They have more technology. They have access to more streams than the civil rights. So what you think these kids going to do?
Come on.
They got access to so much more. So
yes,
it gives them a leverage. It gives them a leverage that you know, that our parents and our grandparents didn't have during the civil rights movement. Because this stuff cannot, I ain't talking just nationwide. We talking worldwide.
Worldwide.
That, folks can see what's going on and can be a part of a movement. So this thing is bigger than just us as a country, because this shows other countries and other millennials across the globe.
What they can do. What they can do, absolutely. And you're right, they have a connector that no generation before them has ever had.
Right.
I mean, at just a push of
a
button, they're connecting with other societies, other cultures, other because, see, here's the thing, what we all need to realize out there, everybody, whether we like it or not, everybody's getting older. Our babies are getting older, and we're getting older. And these young folk who we just look at as kids, they are the next thought leaders of the world. They're the next ones who are going to sit up and be our president. Guys, think about it. When we're in our 60s and 70s, it's going to be them. That's our president. That's our commander-in-chief. Okay? So we need to start having conversations with them, giving them the wisdom, but also listening to them so we see where they're going, where their intentions are. One thing I want to say to the organization that I am a part of, we do have, I know you guys will like this, we do have a committee that solely deals with HBCUs. All right? And so here it is. We have a leader that's from the past generation, and you have those of us that are in my generation, and then we're connected with those who are in colleges, okay? And that's what we need to be able to do. We need to have a 3-4 point system to be able to see where everybody is so we can connect. To my people out there, don't be afraid to pass the baton to the younger generation, because, see, we all are going to age, and if you don't start training them and talking with them and passing the baton now, they're going to be a lost generation. And once again, they're going to be our president. And we don't need another Trump. Speaking of that, everybody, let's do this before we get out of here. This has been a great show so far. I think it's been a really great, informative show. Wouldn't you guys agree? I mean, it's been a great, great show. For those of you out there listening, please let everybody know. If you want to say something to us, please dial in right now or press 1 so we can hear your question or your statement. Once again, dial in 845-241-9898 or listen to blogtalkradio.com/IAMRadio. Now, right now, we're going to hit 911 because I think he's going to give us a little bit of a lesson as well. Man, I need you to listen up. Next up, we hear from Minister 911 on the 911. We'll be back in just a second, everybody. How simple I do.
Welcome to the 911. I'm Minister Raleigh R. Gordon Jr., a.k.a. 911. Y'all know me. Y'all know how I get down. What this segment allows me to do, it allows me to give you the 411 on the things going on in our world that really deserves our attention or raises my concern, or otherwise gets on my nerves, all right? So I just want to start right here with this. Today's 911 segment begins like this. How about Best Buy has announced? Welcome to the Simply IB Show. Minister Raleigh Thornton here, a.k.a. 911, here to just share a little something with you tonight, something that kind of pushed me in the chest and gave me a little irritation. So here we go. Thank you. Let me say thank you for listening to the Simply IB and the Crew Show 2.0, reloaded every Wednesday night here on the IME Radio Network. We appreciate you. We love you. Now, that's about all the love I got for you tonight, because, fellas, I'm about to come for you. Fellas, I got to do it to you. And if you are one of the fellas that I'm talking about tonight, I need you to get a grip, and I need you to start handling your business. Because let me tell you something. I witnessed a family that was walking, and the young man was pushing an empty stroller. The woman was carrying the baby, and to me, this picture was way jacked up. To me, the man should have been carrying the baby, and the woman should have been pushing the empty stroller. Now, I'm nothing against you ladies. I know y'all strong, and y'all can do whatever a man can do. I get the equal rights thing, but in my opinion, chivalry should never be dead. If there's a baby and there's a stroller. If he ain't in the stroller, his daddy should be carrying him most of the time. And even if the woman does want to carry him, you know, at some point they were walking for quite a while, and this woman was still carrying this baby. And I'm just sitting here looking like, oh my goodness. So let me get to the meat of why I am irritated. It made me really think, because there are a lot of males, there's a lot of females that are not paying child support. And let me tell you something, I got so irritated that I went and did a little research. Check this out. There are over $53 billion that are not being paid in child support. And so, you know, me being a person that does pay child support, you know what that did to me. That made me irritated. It was a 911 moment for me. And I just want to say this. Do you know that if we were to be able to get these men and women to get their acts together and take care of their responsibilities, do you understand that we would see an increase of $150 billion to go back into our economy? And we're wondering why things are so messed up. But more importantly, men, I want to hit you in your mouth. Leroy McKenzie, my brother, I want to just piggyback off of the power of the man moment, if I could, and just tell you fellas, if you have made a son or a daughter, how much are you in that child's life? How much input are you having in the seeding moments? How much time are you spending with that life that you helped to create? And I understand scenarios and situations cause us to break up, not to make up, and to move back and have to be pushed in different places. I get it. But at the same time, there's some of you brothers out here, you got sons that grew up to be nothing but thugs and gangbangers. Or if they ain't banging in the streets, they just sitting at home, life is passing them by, they not making nothing out of themselves, and you sitting there watching it happen, you cannot complain about what has happened in your child's life or the lack thereof. If you have not been doing your due diligence to be in their life, to press them, to push them, most of all, to love them. Now, I did not get on here to preach to anybody. Let me just say that. But I want to say this. I want to put it in your hands. I want to lay it in your lap. I want to look you in your eyes through the radio waves. And I just want to tell you right now, if you ain't handling your business with your child as a man, if you are not standing up for the life that you helped to create, you got work to do. If you are a female that know you gave birth to a child and for whatever reason or another, that child is not in your life, you really got work to do. Because there's nothing worse than a child that is wounded from not being with its mother. Can you ever imagine? Even a rat knows when it's not with the right species. Even a snake knows what its mother looks like. Even a dog knows it can't be raised with a cat. So how in the world can a child be successful if it does not have any input with its mother? Now don't get me wrong, I believe in foster care and adoption and all of those things. I believe in those things. I believe in the foster care and the success of it. But I'm saying, if you have your child and you are able to be in that child's life, how dare you not take advantage of your chance to have your input, to put your stamp on your seed? I'm telling you right now, in the name of all that is good and all that is loving and all that needs to be done to get us back in the move or in the momentum of where we once was as a people, black, white, Chinese, whatever, who you are. This is not just a message targeted at my brothers or my sisters of my race. This falls on all of us. So it is our due diligence that we must begin to impact our children's lives, because they're growing up and they're getting off in this world lost. And when you're sending them out into the world lost, it's just like allowing a lion to be born and raised and drop him off in the jungle and take his claws and take his teeth and then ask him to be the king of the jungle. It ain't gonna work. He gonna get ate up and he gonna get killed within moments of being out on his own. So it is the same with your child. Don't let your child grow up and walk off and get into this world and be defenseless because you chose
to back out because of a simple scenario that you could have overcame to get back in. This has been a 911 moment. Lord Jesus, I'm so feeling this. It's a 911 moment for me, and I hope it has been a 911 moment for you. And I just wanted to encourage somebody right now, get in your child's life and start making those necessary deposits that we need to make. Because if we don't, we're going to mess around and have a jungle full of lost soldiers with no weaponry to win. This has been a 911 moment for me, and I truly hope it is a 911 moment for you. God bless. See you next week for another 911 moment. Peace.
Wow, y'all heard it here on Simply IB. That was 911 with the 911. Minister Riley Thornton came and lit up the stage really quickly. You guys, that's what the 911 moment is about. It's about what's on his mind, and as a man, as a minister, and as someone who's observing life out there. We're going to talk about it real quick because I think it's very important with what we're talking about in tonight's show. You know, he really talked to the men out there because he saw a young man out there walking with, I guess, the mother of his child, and he's saying, you know, he was very upset because, you know, the man is pushing the empty stroller, which, you know, nothing is in it, so it's probably easier for him to push. But the lady is bearing the weight of the child. And we know, yes, we want to hold the baby sometimes, but I like what 911 is saying. Brother, take the weight off the woman. And so 911 starts there, but it really is just saying you got to be responsible for your children, man, whether you with mama or not. And this is not to break down men, but it goes into, you guys, when you see mass shootings, guys, and what we're seeing in our country today, let me just talk about our community real quick. And I know we're not the ones killing folks in schools, but we got some other problems, okay? 76% of our households are being led by women. I want y'all to hear that. And if you notice what 911 said when he ended the 911 moment, he said it's like taking a baby lion, right, and putting it in the jungle and taking its claws and taking its teeth and now demanding that he become king. He has no weaponry. He can't fight. And so when our men are not in the community or the men are not in these children's lives who are going out doing these things, they're out there. They don't have any weaponry. They don't know how to resolve conflict. There's no conflict resolution that they teach in schools. Okay? So what's happening a lot of times, and like Denzel Washington said, we have fatherless communities, even in the white communities, everybody. All right? Let's just say that. Where the fathers may be there, but they ain't emotionally attached to the children because they're out there working. Okay? Let's just talk about it. Because these children are going out, whether we call it mental illness or not. Everybody ain't mentally ill who's shooting people. Let me just say this. Some people are just killing people. And so they don't know how to have conflict resolution. Let's go ahead and see what LT and Leroy has to say before we get out of here. And we're going to come back next week and say something. LT, what do you think about the 911? He said he had to borrow from you a little bit. Leroy, what you got?
No, you want me or Leroy?
I know, right?
Let me hit Leroy right quick. I'm sorry.
No, I think he was right on point with it that we do as black men, we have the responsibility to, you know, to step up and stand up. I mean, if we can lay down and make that child, it's your responsibility to take care of it, because you were man. And this was always told to me: if you're man enough to lay down, then you're man enough to stand up. Mm-hmm. So. You know, then that's what I mean.
That's what it is. You know when I looked at real quickly, I want to say this because we're almost out of time. Do you know that, you know, going back to the topic at hand, that the young men that are again out there, I don't remember how many it is right now, but have been the shooters in these mass killings. Do you all know how many of them had fathers in the home? I need you all to look that up, because that was a conversation that we had before. It's a good one. And then also when they went and looked at, I think a couple of them that did, they didn't have relationships. They weren't attached emotionally to the father. Mm. Okay?
to the father. Very, very important for a male child, especially during those ages where they got to learn conflict resolution down there. Very important, very important, very important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your thought about that, what you were saying.
No, no, I was just saying that they need to, that we as men need to stand up and be accountable as part of being,
yeah,
what it is that you're supposed to do. Be accountable for what it is, for the actions that you took. And you have to understand that until we take our rightful position, and that's the key to understanding our rightful position in the family, we'll continue to have our communities in the disarray and chaos that it's in, because
absolutely,
we're not present.
We're not present. We're not present. Mm-hmm. LT, what did you have to think about tonight's 911 moment?
I'm with Leroy. He, you know, 911. He hit it spot on regarding that, because. And something else you just said that just was, like, so key, you said, is relationship with the father. To be real, real, real deep, but I will be spiritual. That's a revelation in and of itself, that you have to have a relationship with the father. If you're not connected to something that you believe in, you won't have you won't be able to tap into those values of how to extend and how to show someone how to grow and how to be, because you don't have a relationship. And that's just not from a man to a son. That's like as people having a relationship with the father to give us direction so we can parent our kids and be present.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing like being in
Amen.
A room with someone and not be present. They see you, but they don't see you. And so that was just like deep on so many levels. So thank you, 911, for that.
Wow, wow, wow. You guys, this has been a great show once again. Like always, we want you guys to continue to support us by tuning in every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on the I Am Me Radio Network, where you can hear so much. Now, we didn't get to all of our segments tonight, but that's okay, because we can do what we want to here on Simply IV. Once again, let everybody know that they can dial in and talk with us every Wednesday by going to 845-241-9898. Or they can listen by going to blogtalkradio.com/IAmMeRadio. If you like tonight's show, please share tonight's podcast. I'm suggesting that to my cast and crew, as well as all of you. All right? Well, it's time to go. We'll see you next Wednesday right here on Simply IV Radio Show and the crew. We'll see you next week, everybody.